Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And just because someone lacks the right papers, it doesn't mean that they deserve to die in an ICE holding cell.
We do not want ICE. We do not want our dollars going to ICE and funding people actually dying.
People are dying in those camps. If you opt to cooperate with ICE, you are going to have blood on your hands.
People who are in these ICE detention centers, or what I like to call them concentration camps, are literally they're dying.
We must stay far away from the side of fascism and the Nazification of our communities.
Cool, cool, cool. County Commission meeting, having a good, calm discussion about policy of allowing corrections officers to call Immigration and Customs Enforcement when some person has an ICE detainer out on them, and they've served their sentence, and you know we picked them up for breaking into a vehicle, and they've been in jail, and now they're being released, and we know there's a hold on them, and so we're calling ICE and telling them, hey, we got this person, and then we're handing them over to ICE so that ICE can process them in whatever way they seem fit. That's absolutely the same thing as the Gestapo and concentration camps and people dying and all of the other silliness that was being alleged. And we went through this last hour. If you missed my conversation last hour, you can go back and listen to the podcast page, News Radio 92.3. Lots of emotion, okay? You know, lots of things. In fact, I mean, it kind of got to look, when people are upset, I have great sympathy for people who are upset. And I think a lot of these people some of them were politically motivated, just to make a point. And some people were genuinely, like, they think about the implications of some of the enforcement against either the children over the actual illegal immigrants, you know, in this country. And it, like, this Madeline Hutchinson, who is a teacher, she, you know, I thought, I mean, when people cry, you pay attention. And she was not faking it, I thought.
I teach students who've lived here their whole lives who were conveniently born in Vietnam or the Philippines or Mexico or Guatemala or El Salvador that don't know those countries and are going to go home from my class and their parents are going to be gone. And I would just like to ask, when do you take your duty more seriously than you take the fear that you're going to look bad because you said no to the federal government? When is ICE going to do something you say? My duty as a law officer means more than compliance. Sorry, thank you.
Her emotion is sincere. And the pain and frustration that she's feeling, she's not making that up, I didn't think. I found her to be very compelling. And I thought, actually, before she got very emotional, she asked, I think, the right question, a very good question to ask.
I don't think you have to answer my questions if I'm up here and would like to ask a question, but I would like to have you think about what behavior from a federal agency you would no longer tolerate. Is there behavior from a federal agency? Is there a culture of a federal agency that you would say we can no longer tolerate, we can no longer cooperate, because you are also invested with executing the law that we have, like, put in your hands?
Like, that's a great question. Every citizen should consider where the limits are on their submission to authority, their obedience to laws when those laws are unjust, because there are unjust laws. You know, whether it's a law about you have to sit here if you're black, or you have to eat there if you're black, or you have to, you know, historically we have a lot of laws that have been unjust and should be protested and should be fought and should be disobeyed. That's what the whole concept of civil disobedience was about. So she's not wrong. And certainly, I mean, for those of us who like to talk about, hey, the reason we have a Second Amendment is in case there's a domestic tyranny, well, you better understand when domestic tyranny happens, right? And now, they seem to think it's happening now. I think, boy, you picked the wrong venue, because this is not the case you think it is. Again, this is the most minor of things that the Escambia County Commission was doing. But nevertheless, okay, you had a lot of drama. And it was added to by Commissioner Lumen May.
couldn't support this. I didn't support the memorandum in the beginning, have not supported it, and have been very clear. And so I applaud these young people because it may not be directly affecting you of what you're speaking out. And the reason I can't support it is simply, for me, it's something that was on my wall when I first got elected. It came to me from a friend who simply said this, how I sum it up for me. He said they came for the socialists. I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. They came for the trade union. I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. They came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up for me. So for me, I'm going to speak up for those people that don't have the ability to speak up for themselves. So I could not support the memorandum, nor will I support this addendum. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So I completely agree with that comment. I think, was it Schultz and Eason who said that? I forget. But I completely agree with the comment. You should stand up for the rights of people you disagree with and don't identify with and don't even like. You absolutely should. And so I absolutely stand up for these people's rights to speak, for example, okay? But that doesn't mean that what's happening now is that, you know, they're coming for the brown people like they came for the Jews. It's just not like that. So county commissioners, they had their comments. I'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I-10 westbound between I-110 and Highway 29 is down to one lane still, and it's causing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. Also, Olive Road southbound, headed toward Olive Road, seeing some delays. I'd say about an 8 minute delay associated with that. Traffic is backing up at that light. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So Steve Stroberger, Commissioner District 1.
Charlie, you said that you don't care how they got here. I do. I care who comes in my house, and I care who comes in our country. I don't quite understand why we're more in support of criminal illegals, because I'm talking about criminal illegals. Today, I think I saw that there are 600,000 still running around the country, and that's who we know about.
Please,
but we're
put that
prioritizing
down, sir.
Them over American lives. So I don't know how many ICE agents you know. I know a couple. I don't know how many Border Patrol officers you know. I know many. They're good people. They're not committing any crimes. They are protecting us, and this is about protecting us, all of us. So I am in support of this.
And again, the facts in this case, we'll get to in just a second, because hearing Chief Powell, Rich Powell, the corrections chief, talk about it will, I think, help. But, you know, Mike Kohler getting information from Rich Powell.
Chief Powell, how many, I just have a question, how many people have we actually detained in the I just kind of am curious, because I mean there was a lot of comments here. I'd like to have the facts out there.
Have ICE detainers on them, none that have just an ICE pickup. They're here that have additional state and or local charges against them.
Do they have criminal records?
Probably. I mean, it's an assumption without me looking.
Hold on. I'm trying to get facts out, okay?
To answer your question, at minimum, they've been charged locally with a state crime or municipality's crime.
Okay.
That's why they're in my custody.
And that's part of the discussion here is we're talking about people who are in jail for other reasons and also have ICE detainers out on them. This is not like we're rounding up all the brown people that we think might be here illegally and putting them in the Escambia County Jail. What world do you live in? That's not happening, okay?
Can you elaborate on what type of charges? I mean, were they charged with driving with suspended license or trespassing?
You think driving with a suspended license is not an important crime? Oh, my God. Okay, anyway.
It's various crimes, right? It's various crimes, and they are here
enough
illegally.
That the state has charged.
And Commissioner Berg, I respect that. Various crimes, but not necessarily serious crimes. I mean, quite frankly, everyone has done something that could land them with a crime. I mean,
deportation?
No one wants murders and rapists and all that, but everybody that's locked up is not a murderer or a rapist.
And they're not welcome in my house. Why would I welcome in our country?
Please, everyone, let's try
we
to
have zero
respect it.
As of my last count, now I've been here for several hours, that I'm aware of, that have only been picked up on an ICE detainer. Zero. Okay.
Yeah, so that's not happening. And they run the range of criminal behaviors. And some might be what Lumen Maya is going to call serious crimes. I think that if it's a crime sufficient to arrest somebody, it's a crime sufficient to arrest somebody. If they also are here illegally, then you process them through that after we've dealt with the crime that was committed. What's funny about this is we've been doing this for years. How this all works, they actually walked through it a little. If there was a mistake made by Chair Kohler, the mistake was he should have had Rich Powell at the beginning Q&A explain what actually happens in the Escambia County Jail. What is this? How would this change? Instead of letting all of these political activists get up and, you know, get their 3 minutes of infamy or whatever. It wouldn't have been for good radio. It's entertaining radio. But it would have been a much better if you have the get out the facts first. And then when people say dumb stuff, they look dumb as opposed to let them, you know, shoot their videos, go online. Look what I said. I'm a fan. I'm a star. And nobody's refuting them. It would have been more effective. And I think it's a good policy to lay out the facts first, then let people talk. But, you know, whatever. Anyway.
And are these folks have a court date, or are they scheduled, if ICE sees them, to be deported?
They all have a ICE detainer on them. When they are adjudicated, whether they go to state prison or do time in a county jail, upon their completion of their sentence, if they are sentenced, found guilty, and adjudicated against them, at that time, they would be turned over to ICE. If ICE doesn't pick them up in 72 hours, they're released.
But they will see a judge first?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's important for me to know that.
Yeah, and this ratification of this addendum is part of the due process that I heard many of people spoke of not getting. This is to ensure due process.
Yeah, I have a problem if they didn't have a judicial process, but you're saying that is in effect?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, if you read the memorandum, part of the addendum that they put in here, under Section 1, Civil Rights Standards, participating law enforcement agency personnel are bound by all federal civil rights laws, regulations, and guidance relating to non-discrimination, including the United States Department of Justice, guidance for federal law enforcement agencies regarding the use of race, ethnicity, gender, national origin, religion, sexual orientation, or gender identity, dated December 2014. That's just, a mention in the addendum that they were ratifying, which, again, changes virtually nothing. This is a jot and tittle. This is a crossing a T or a dotting of the I in making sure that our policies allow for our corrections officers to properly work with ICE and, by the way, to check with them before they do any of this.
This is nothing new. I've been in the state of Florida for 20 years in law enforcement behind you in jails. It's the same detainer process we've been doing for the entire time I've been in the state of Florida. This is just a different layer that where we now can serve that warrant when it gets sent to us, as opposed to waiting for somebody to show up to do it. It expedites the process of their due process.
So why were the people there? Well, partially for political activism, because I think it's effective to move the needle one way or the other in public impression. Partially because they're frustrated and angry, and they can't vent against Trump or Kristi Noem, and so they can vent against, you know, Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger. They can get time. And people who are worked up and passionate, they get time. You know, even though it's a complete nothing burger of a topic, just like the Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico thing we talked about yesterday, which is funny because these were the two things that people were most passionate about, the most non-issues in the whole county commission meeting. These were all the worked up abouts. So here's where it got really interesting for me. How did it turn out? What was the vote?
I motion that we move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, there's a motion and second. Please vote. Those opposed? Motion passes 3-2.
What? 3-2? Steve Stroberger, Mike Kohler, Ashley Hoffberger, Stephen Barry, 4 Republicans. Lumen May votes against, of course. 4 Republicans, 3-2. Steve Barry voted no. On, again, the most inconsequential of all possible bureaucratic check marks. Why? Why would a North End conservative Republican vote twice on the same day with the liberal Democrat on issues that he did not explain himself on his vote either? That, I thought it was weird.
Opposed. Motion passes 3-2. All right, let's move on to where are we at now. We have to vote on 119.
Shame on you, sir. Shame on you.
Shame, shame. I know your name.
I like that, Andrew. I was like,
all right. Enough. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5s. John?
Say my name. I-10.
Say my name.
Say my name. All right, I-10 westbound between Davis Highway and Highway 29. Traffic is being backed up due to one lane. So just be aware of that as they start work on that side of I-10. I-10 eastbound approaching Highway 29 and even past it, we're seeing some minor delays there, about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Let's see here. If you are on Avalon Boulevard southbound heading toward I-10, it's backed up, maybe a 7 to 9 minute delay. Just pack your patience there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Also, I should say this real quick. I believe we should only be deporting people or processing them who are criminals. And I want as many immigrants to come here as possible. I am a big, wide, huge door, but I also want controls. And we have not had controls for a long time, and we are establishing controls now. So do I love everything the Trump administration is doing? I don't. Do I think that we are engaging in, you know, pre-concentration camp? Good Lord, no. I do not.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, he is God. I encourage you to rejoice in him and give your life to him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
We Care Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Woody, I need big help. My husband was working on the lights and he...
I may be small, but I know a thing or two about big jobs. Just call the experts at We Care and maybe take that honey-do list away from your fella. We Care's HVAC, plumbing and electrical experts have thousands of positive reviews over the last 10 years. Let the gnome protect your home. Schedule online at wecareheatandair.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air. Tune in this Thursday at 9. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I was right. The Chiwala has done it again.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump trying to push Russia into reaching a peace deal with Ukraine while he was meeting with NATO Secretary Mark Rutte at the White House on Monday. Trump said he plans to place severe tariffs on Russia if they don't have a deal within 50 days. He also announced a new deal to sell top-of-the-line weaponry to NATO, including defensive Patriot missiles.
And David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody texts in, says, I can't be silent. I have family members here on legitimate visas. Immigration officers at airport in New York have threatened them. They're legal. No crimes. They entered legally. We need to dive deeper on some of the official data sources, and I am a conservative, he says. I think we should definitely be questioning. Don't take it for granted that everything you're being told is accurate. I agree with that, too.
I'm Chris Foster. President Trump attends an energy and artificial intelligence summit in Pittsburgh today. NVIDIA says there's an agreement to sell computer chips to China.
CEO Jensen Huang says he's received assurances from the Trump administration that the H20 artificial intelligence chip can be sold to Chinese customers after licenses are granted by the Commerce Department. The chips are specially designed for China and will meet U.S. national security concerns.
Fox's Jenny Casola. There's flooding in parts of the Northeast.
We got close to 8 inches of rain in Pennsylvania, 7 inches close in New Jersey, and the second wettest hour on record for New York. So we got over 2 inches of rain in less than an hour.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. The Supreme Court approves mass education department layoffs. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 79 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. We'll get our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. A Fort Walton Beach man in custody after barricading himself inside his home and threatening to shoot responding deputies on Sunday. Officials say 61-year-old Roger Ismond was wanted for the battery of a 78-year-old woman. He ended up being taken into custody by the county's Special Response and Crisis Negotiations Unit. Ismond is charged with resisting an officer and domestic violence battery on an elder. He's being held in the Okaloosa County Jail with no bond. Governor Ron DeSantis taking a bit of a victory lap after several top rankings for the state of Florida. The governor says there's now one more area where Florida ranks at the top of the nation, religious liberty. The governor says Florida's been ranked number one by the Texas-based First Liberty Institute, a nonprofit law firm that litigates First Amendment cases.
This is a comprehensive, peer-reviewed comparison of how all 50 states protect religious liberty through public law.
The governor says religion is central to our way of life in Florida, but he also says it's been under assault for more than a decade now. Well, Florida's citrus industry concluded the 2024-2025 season with the lowest production numbers in over 100 years. The Department of Agriculture says the crop was affected by hurricanes and citrus greening disease. Overall production dropped 28.5% from the previous year, totaling 14.52 million boxes. Orange production was down 32.7%, grapefruit 24.7%. The President Biden auto pen story is a case of staff gone wild. That's at least according to Senator Ashley Moody. When she was on Fox Business yesterday, she was commenting on a New York Times report that Biden approved allowing staff to use the auto pen to sign pardons and commutations. Moody called that story shocking, and she says the Judiciary Committee plans to look into it even further. A convicted killer dealing with a setback in his attempt to spare his life. Orange Osceola State Attorney Monique Worrell announced yesterday that Tommy Ziegler will remain on death row. He killed his wife and others in Winter Garden about 50 years ago. Ziegler argues that DNA evidence should be enough to free him from death row. Worrell, though, disagreed. She said after reviewing testing done on blood that was on Ziegler's clothing the night of the murders. The Tampa Bay Times reports a judge could decide to hold a hearing on those evidence concerns in the near future. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Thank you. Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 westbound between I-110 and Highway 29. Seeing about a 9 to 12 minute delay in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and past Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. Seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay there also. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
have mostly sunny skies today with very hot temperatures, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Going into the middle of the week, we're expecting some heavy showers and thunderstorms to move in, as we do have a low that will be moving into the Gulf. This is going to be bringing some heavy tropical rains with the possibility of flash flooding, 80% chance of rain on Wednesday, high near 92. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping that heavy rain threat around for your Thursday with a 90% chance of those heavy showers, high near 88. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stick and Atkins Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 79 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors are keeping a close eye on the June Consumer Price Index, seeking clues on how the Trump administration's tariffs have been affecting prices. Dow Jones analysts estimate the metric will show a 0.3% monthly increase and a 2.7% headline reading. Data drops in 10 minutes. President Trump says the U.S. will impose steep tariffs on the countries that do business with Russia if there is no peace deal to end the war in Ukraine within 50 days. Trump added that the tariffs could be as high as 100%. The Supreme Court has allowed the Trump administration to begin mass layoffs at the Education Department, halting a lower court ruling that had blocked the White House's plans. The Supreme Court did not elaborate on its reasoning for the decision. Futures are mixed ahead of key inflation data that is set to drop in minutes. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 88, the NASDAQ up 54, the S&P 500 up 8. Once again, futures are mixed ahead of key inflation data. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division, for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If I talk too fast, you should listen faster. That's the problem. It should be... I try to do a show that I would find entertaining, and that means that I try to cover a lot and go fast. And I figure you may not get it all, but you get enough. That's my view. Chip Simmons.
I talk pretty fast.
You do too. I mean, most of the people that I interact with, they talk fast. Like Eric Gilmore. It's actually dangerous when Eric and I get on the radio together because we both talk fast. And we both try to cover a lot, you know. So anyway, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons is here with us in the studio. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. How'd the beach show go?
Hey, it went very well. You tell me. You were out there complaining.
I told all your deputies thank you, as I do, and they're great, and they're, you know, sporting their shorts and looking good, and I felt bad for them. They have to wear their tack vests, but, you know, that is what it is.
Well, that's their job.
Yeah. I mean, it's hot and humid,
sure,
and
they're safe.
They're in the sun, and...
No, we had over the course of a couple of days here, hundreds of thousands of people going on to the beach, and except for some slow go with the traffic and parking issues, it went very well. We have an affidavit for one person on a fight. We had a report there was a stabbing. I guess some family member stabbed another person, but no one's given us the right information.
Okay.
Or what we think is the right information, so that's still under investigation. But by and large, with that larger crowd, over really Wednesday, it started kicking off pretty well on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So four good days.
And you tow any cars, handful of cars?
We towed 28 cars.
Okay.
Which again sounds like a lot, but think about how many cars are going through there and how many people are just looking, searching for any place they can squeeze their car into to get, to get out down to the beach. It didn't seem like that many to me.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things.
Unless you're the one who got a car towed and you
Well, then it's bad for you. It's a rough day.
Yeah.
Of course, it's also a rough day. I saw a Prius parked in the sand, and I'm like, good luck. I mean, they were up to the frame of the body in the sand, and I thought
Prius and sand don't go together.
You can get into that space.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you're getting out of it. Let's see. We had a shooting overnight in Century. Is that right?
Yeah, I just got word. We had a guy reports that he woke up and someone was in his house, and that individual shot him twice. He was transported to the hospital. At this point, the injuries do not appear life-threatening. So we're looking into that. We get reports like this, and it's like, that doesn't sound random to me.
Mm-hmm.
But we are investigating it, and obviously we'll look at it is to see if the suspect is someone that knows the victim or if there's some sort of connection to that home.
I mean, there can be just random, inexplicable, horrible crimes. I mean, we had like the Billings crimes. We know there can be.
Well, even that wasn't random.
But even, those are extraordinarily rare. The much more common is somebody knows somebody,
it's an inside
drug
job at a business,
right,
or someone has been buying and selling drugs. They happen to notice what's going on. They get desperate and they go back for something. I'm not saying that's what happened in this one, why would an individual choose that particular house, and why, just take the opportunity to shoot a couple times unless you know something, or, like you said, there's the truly random acts of violence are extraordinarily rare.
The one of the other things that happened recently, we had somebody shot and killed. This was six days ago, over apparently an ongoing dispute about a motorcycle that was riding on Frank Reeder Road. What happened here?
Yeah, that was it. There was a 20-year-old that was riding a motorcycle in a neighborhood, and this has been riding the motorcycles in this particular neighborhood has caused disturbances in the past, like a week before.
Because they're loud, or?
I don't know. I just don't. I think it's probably the way they're driving.
Okay.
And the thought there is that some residents don't think that they should be riding that way.
Okay.
So in this case,
I assume this is kind of a smaller road, maybe a country road, maybe a dirt road. I don't know. It's
Frank
something.
Reeder roads are fairly.
Oh, it's Frank Reeder. Okay, yeah. I got you. Right behind OLF 8. Okay, yeah. I got you.
So this 20-year-old was riding his motorcycle, and he noticed a guy that they had issues with in the past, filming him with his camera. So he goes back and picks up what is thought to be his stepfather. I'm still not certain of the connection there, but an older individual. And then they both got on motorcycles and went back down to talk to the guy that was videoing them. And at this point, we talk a lot about reasonableness and whether you can defend yourself, and you certainly can defend yourself, but it has to be reasonable. So think about where they're at. They're in the middle of the road. The older gentleman, and I usually don't give the names of the victim,
sure,
but the older gentleman gets off a motorcycle and, according to witnesses, reaches out his hand to either shake the hand or not necessarily in an aggressive manner. And the person that was originally videoing refused that handshake. And then there became an altercation in which the shooter pulls out a gun.
This is the same person who was filming.
The same person was videoing.
Okay, got it.
So he fired several rounds at the homicide victim, to include, according to witnesses, shots while he was already down. And then he points again at the other 20-year-old and says, "Do you want some of this?" And that sort of, I'm not an exact quote, but that's what he's saying. So what we do is we have to determine, is it self-defense? Is it something that a reasonable person would think is justified? And so what we have to do is we have to go by some of the location, obviously. We have to go by what took place beforehand. We have to go by the witness accounts that are not attached to one party or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, the deputies that were on scene and the state attorney's office determined that it's not reasonable in that situation to pull out a handgun and shoot and kill someone based upon the circumstances at the time.
Right.
So that's where we are. We ended up charging him with second-degree homicide. The state attorney's office, again, worked very well with us. We certainly appreciate that because this is kind of one of those close ones, and typically the tie will go to the person defending themselves. But this is not on their property. This was in the middle of the road, and from what we gather, according to witnesses, the use of deadly force was unprovoked and unnecessary.
Let me quick pause. We'll come back to this in a second because I have questions. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now from I-10 westbound between I-110 and Highway 29. Seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. The left lane is closed, so stay in that right-hand lane. And I-10 eastbound through the construction zone on Highway 29, seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons in this incident on Frank Reeder Road. So just a fact clarification. So the guy who was upset enough to be filming or recording them originally on a motorcycle was not recording them on video when they returned, that he didn't keep rolling the video? Because I would think the kind of person who rolls a video, I would think he would have recorded the incident, but
yeah,
no?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any video.
Okay.
There wasn't videoing at the time of the incident.
Okay, that just seems weird to me, but okay. But also, I mean, videoing in public of somebody driving a vehicle is 100% legal. That alone is 100% legal. It's no reasonable expectation.
You can videotape other people that are in the roadway. That is correct. Does it aggravate people? We get calls all the time about people videoing. Protesters do it a lot. They obviously the cops get videoed all the time.
Right.
People always, or I say always,
often,
many times there are people that are videoing police officers doing their job, and they're starting to ask all these questions: "What's your name? What's your badge number?" and that sort of thing. And my point is, it's perfectly legal for people to do that. And
right.
It's legal for people, as you just mentioned, to videotape another. Now, whether they were going to complain later to law enforcement, I don't know that information. Or maybe they're just trying to ignore each other. I really don't know.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, even if you're out in public doing it, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. You can be recorded, even your face, your license plate, all of that stuff is all just right. In public, you know, that you, so, but I get people might be aggravated. That doesn't mean that, of course, they can take matters in their own hands.
And we get called all the time with people that are complaining because someone's videotaping them or their children.
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird? Probably.
It certainly can be, right.
Certainly something that we would, you know, maybe want to look into. But quite honestly, if you're in the roadway or in a public place and you're videotaping something and we come up there and say, "What are you doing?" Unless they're committing a crime or we have reasonable suspicion or probable cause, they have the right to stand there and not say a word.
Right. And that's why I wanted to clarify, because there's many weird elements of this case, and I can see why it was a challenge for you guys and the state attorneys to figure out. Last one was Savannah Hale, I think, was arrested. Do I have this story right? She's the one that called you guys?
Yeah, she called us for an unrelated matter. So she's sitting in the car. Deputies get there, and they notice it smells pretty strong of alcohol coming from this car. And she's in the driver's seat. She's in control of this car.
Okay.
So deputies say, "Hey, why don't you step out? I don't want you to drive away. You're not... You look like you may be impaired." And then it escalated to a point where she assaulted the deputy. She cut the deputy with, I guess she had a ring or some jewelry on her hand during a scuffle, and we ended up taking her to jail.
What was the original call about?
It said unrelated. I don't know exactly what it was about, but she had a concern enough to call the cops.
Didn't like what she was hearing from them, and so...
Well, I don't think she appreciated the fact that the deputy thought she was impaired behind the wheel of a car.
But they found alcohol in the car, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a couple of some cans. I'm not sure, but the Loco something.
Yeah.
I don't deal with that
not
stuff.
A big consumer. Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right. Well, fair. I mean, yeah, you know, it's fine to call the police, but it's better to not call the police when you're also already engaging in something you shouldn't be doing. And then don't fight with them when they show up, right? I mean, just general advice.
don't fight us, bro.
That's my forever drop for you. Don't fight us, bro. Hey, last thing, and I won't ask you to get into it because, of course, the mayor's going to have a press conference this morning, you know, to talk about the resignation of Chief Eric Randall. You know, did he resign? Was he resigned? Was this a termination? You know, what all happened? But I did want to, you're former chief of police, and you know Kristen Brown, and you know Kevin Christman, and you know Eric Goss, and you know all of these people very well. So if there's anything about this that you wanted to comment, I did want to give you a chance to comment because, you may have a thought. And if you have no thought at all, then we'll wrap up the interview.
Well, I think my thought right now would be to congratulate Kristen Brown. I've known Kristen for a long time. Worked with her quite a bit over there. And I had a conversation with her a couple of days ago and told her how proud I was and how supportive we were of her and the job. It's a difficult job. These are, again, I know I have been there. And I told her that whatever advice or help I can give her, well, I'm certainly available to it. It's historic. She's the first female police chief, even though it's on an interim basis. She is in charge at the Pensacola Police Department. I congratulate her. I wish her well. I think that the police department's in good hands with her at the helm, even if it is for a couple of months. I know Kevin Christman and Eric Goss, who is now the interim deputy.
Yeah, right. Because Kevin's out on medical leave, right?
Yeah, I've known them all for a long period of time. I think that the Pensacola Police Department has always been a quality operation, and I think they'll continue to be as long as they're running the agency.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing. You know, she's being the first female. We've got two local. I mean, like, you know, the chief of Milton, right? Chief Frank is a female, and chief of Pensacola, at least temporarily, is a female. Of course, Jenny Craner, fire department, is a female. She's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know what it means for anything, but it's just interesting first ever.
I think that I'm thinking about even the sheriff's office. We have our first female chief of staff, Whitney Lucas, is at the sheriff's office, probably the highest ranking female employee at the sheriff's office that we've ever had. So I think that it's a matter of, hey, wherever you can get the talent, you bring the talent in. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what is being reflected here locally.
And I also think, we don't talk about this much, but, we've talked about it a couple times in the past, that the interaction between PPD and Escambia Sheriff's Office and Gulf Breeze and Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, all of these local law enforcement agencies get along extraordinarily well. But one of the sort of advantages that we have right now in Escambia County is, we have not one but two former chiefs of Pensacola Police who are at the senior most levels of the Escambia Sheriff's Office. So, you and Tommy don't just know, like, at a distance what it's like to be a police. You were the police chiefs in Pensacola and are very well familiar with that, which means you interact well with them.
That doesn't happen everywhere.
Right.
We go to sheriff's conferences, and there's in some counties there are so many municipalities, it's almost mm-hmm. impossible for them to all get along. But we get along very well. They handle the calls in the city of Pensacola for the most part, and then we'll handle the ones in the unincorporated areas. And then we help each other whenever needs arise.
Very good. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us informed about the law, about events in our community, and keep us safe, man. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's county fair. I'm going
to
be...
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, man, I saw the whole thing.
And a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's.
Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Something real special right now. We've got a traffic report up there on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. How's it going up there?
Adrian, it's not going exactly well. There's a water buffalo jackknife up there. It's not a very pretty picture. There's horns everywhere. I don't know what to say. We're going to maybe drop in a little napalm there and try and cook him down, maybe a little barbecue.
It's such we got a water buffalo jackknife up here on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. 756 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
In my helicopter up here. All right. I-10 west.
Well, no temperatures. Put your head outside. It's hot.
It's hot. I-10 westbound between I-110 and Highway 29 down to one lane. Get in that right-hand lane. And also seeing delays on I-10 eastbound. Right as you approach and go past the Highway 29 construction zone, you will see delays there also. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide what to get or where to go, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, one of the things that they specialize in cars that are almost new, like 1 to 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, 10 to maybe 40 or 50,000 miles. And then they're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they're going to stand by them, good quality cars. But one of the advantages of going there is you can ask them, because they see thousands of cars, all different makes and models, brands, whatever. And you can ask them, you know, what's reselling easily, what's reselling slow, what's holding its value, what takes a lot of repairs, because they're a kind of a real on-the-ground barometer of how different vehicles are performing, and you can ask them their opinion. It's okay. They will have one, and they'll help you figure out, hey, this is a good deal, or this is maybe not such a good deal. And if they've got what you want, you can buy it. If they, you know, if you want one with lower miles for a higher price or higher miles for a lower price or whatever, they can go looking for you. They do it for folks all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The Justice Department wants the Supreme Court to deny an appeal from Ghislaine Maxwell, a former associate of late sex criminal Jeffrey Epstein. Maxwell currently serving a 20-year sentence for helping Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. She wants the court to take another look at her case, arguing that his non-prosecution agreement in 2007 should have shielded co-conspirators and protected her from prosecution. The north rim of the Grand Canyon National Park is shut down for the rest of the season. Firefighters are working to contain the Dragon Bravo fire in northern Arizona. That fire has been burning for about 10 days now, consumed more than 5,700 acres, and unfortunately destroyed the historic Grand Canyon Lodge. And Meta says they are going to be policing unoriginal posts on Facebook, those that use other people's text, photos, or videos. The company said on Monday they've already removed 10 million impersonator profiles this year.
That's crazy. Now, that I'm all for. On the other hand, if they start removing content that's just merely unoriginal, God, there'd be nothing left on Facebook.